Come down here. Okay. You guys scoot over here. Right here. Okay, what's your name?
Amanda.
Okay, come here, guys. Line up right here. Right here. Can you get there? Oh, a middle school teacher. Even better. Where can we get you over here? Here, scoot over a little bit. Okay, you guys help. Here you go. What's your names?
I'm Nate.
You can do it all at once. Just tell us your names because I'm not going to remember. Trace.
William.
Chris.
Dexter.
Shelton. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Okay, do you guys remember that? Probably not. So here's what we're going to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I asked for 5. We've got 6. That's okay. And you guys are going to help, but you're in charge, okay? When I say go, your job is to be still.
That's impossible.
If you move at all, they'll go, you can yell the number, but you're in charge, and just when you're done, you can leave. Can't be beat. And you just any movement, you can breathe and you can blink. You do that, okay? You got to stand up. And just keep, I'm going to start talking, you just keep going. When there's one left, you don't go anywhere. Okay, ready? Hold on, let me get out of the way. You're just saying you. Yeah, they'll help you, but when someone moves, you say, see ya, okay? Because we got other stuff to do, it can't take all day. All right, ready, set, go! All right, so hey, just kind of, you can, if they yell numbers if they move. But my, okay, already gone. While we're doing this, I want to show you something. I want to show you a picture of my family, because that's what you do when you're speaking, is your family. So there's my family. I got a lot of kids. That's me. That's my daughter, Madison. What's my wife? My daughter, Madison, she got married. I was telling Mike Andrews, she used to come and wear whitewash. So, okay. Okay, thanks, guys. You can go have a seat. All right, leave my family, we'll get back. Okay. Wait, no, don't leave. You got a prize. What's your name?
Shelton.
Shelton, you lasted almost a minute. What do you like to do, Shelton? I don't know. You like football?
No.
Who do you want to win the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
You don't know. You know who's playing? Well, I have a really special prize for you, Shelton. I have an autographed picture of Tom Brady. Do you have any idea how much this is worth?
No.
It's worth $2 because that's how much the frame was at Walmart, and I autographed it. So it is Tom Brady, and it is autographed. But that's my autograph, so it's really not worth anything. But your friends won't know that. What do you do for fun? Here, hold that. That's yours. What do you do for fun? What's your favorite video game?
Fortnite.
Okay. So I got another prize for you that you might actually like a little bit better than the Tom Brady.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. All right, give it up for Shelton. Thank you very much. So my family. This is my family. So you see, that's my wife, that's me, my daughter Madison, who came to Winter Whitewash. Now she's married to this crazy guy, Peyton Nupo, and then Jaden, Josiah, and Sawyer. So you can see, there's a lot of boys in my family. So so I can handle it. How many of you like something like this would have driven you crazy? If someone said be still and you had to like be completely still for a long time, how many of you would freak? That freaks me out. So it's to you people. I've done some research for this weekend, and there's been scientific studies. So when you're in school or something like this, an adult tells you to be still and you can't stand it, there's a name for it, right? If you have to, like, fidget or draw or chew gum or shake your leg or tap, there's a name. Who are those people that cannot sit still? And there's a name for you people. You know what it is? Normal, right? You are normal. We take boys, especially, we put you in a desk and say, sit there for 8 hours and don't move. Can't stand it. So here's the deal. At Winter Whitewash, when I'm talking, I'm the only one that your youth minister other times, but when I'm talking, it's okay. If you have a little spinner thing, I don't care. If you need to tap or draw pictures, you have to go to the bathroom, fine, just pay, as long as you're listening, right? Because I know some of you, the more you do that, the more you listen, and that's cool. You don't have to always be still all the time. But there's times in life, right, where you have to be still. And so I did what all old people do. I went on Facebook, and I asked my friends, when is a time that you have to be still? And I got some good answers. I'm going to share them with you. Somebody said when you're getting an MRI. Okay, yeah. Somebody, sardines. Anybody played sardines? You know that game? It's where one person hides. So my friend, a long time ago, he got this great, he was a youth minister, and he got this great idea to hide in the ceiling. There was a drop ceiling, and he climbed up in there, and he was laying on a board like this, like he was laying on the wall, on the 2x4, on top of the drop ceiling, sitting there. No one will ever find me. And there was insulation on top of the drop ceiling, and it started getting on him, and he started itching, and he couldn't be still, and he fell over backwards, and he fell through the drop ceiling onto a water fountain. Got to be still, you're playing sardines. When you're getting a haircut, that's a good one. You're getting a haircut. When a guy with a gun says, don't move, I don't know how that's ever happened to any of us, but that is a good time to be still. When you're playing Simon Says, if you want to be in. Yeah, somebody, this one scares me. Somebody said eye injections. I don't know what that is. I don't want to know any more about that, but I would be still. The mannequin challenge, is that still a thing? But I don't know. Somebody put it. A tattoo. I used to work at a Bible college a long time ago, and one of the kids got a tattoo. It was against college rules to get a tattoo, and his name was Nick. Nick wasn't the smartest guy in the world. Nick got a tattoo. Like, I'm like, why did you pay for that? He got a tattoo of a really thin black line around his bicep. It looked like he put a black rubber band around his arm. But Nick is like most of you. He wiggled. So he has a crooked black line all around his arm for eternity. So when you're getting it, if you get a tattoo, you should be still. This is an awesome one. Some of you moms, you're going to love this. When I don't want my kids to know I'm awake. Mommy! That's a good one. It was on Facebook, so it's okay. This is my roommate from college, a guy named Bill. He hasn't changed, but this was what he said. I'm just going to read what he said. When you're not sure if it was liquid or just air. I'm sorry. I know. My friend Alex said, in a cold guard tower on an airfield somewhere far, far away from home. Right? That's a place where you're still. Another of my friends said, when your mother has stage 4 cancer and you spend the night with her in the waning days and the disease makes it difficult for her to sleep, her memory is pretty much all gone, and you hold her at 3 o'clock in the morning. And he said, you don't want to move because you don't want to wake her. Somebody said, when your world is in chaos, and when you're desperate to hear from God. There are times when it's important to be still. Sometimes we make a big deal of things that we shouldn't when we want you to be still, but there are times it's important to be still. And especially when it's trying to find something out for God. What is he trying to teach me? What is he trying to show me? It's important then to be still. If you have your Bibles, take them out. If you don't, that's okay. I'm going to read you something from the Bible every time we get together because it doesn't really matter what I say. This is what's important. This, if you don't know this, this is a Bible. It's God's word. And it's true, right? You can trust this book. It is what it says it is, and that's important. We're going to put this on the screens, but I'm going to read it to you as well. If you have your Bible, turn to Exodus 14 is where we're going to start. And I'm going to read for most of the weekend out of the ESV, just so you know where I'm coming from. But let me tell you where we're at. So Exodus 14, in the Old Testament, God has been working through some families, and he ends up with Joseph. And Joseph, you remember the story, the crazy coat, and he gets sent to Egypt. And at the end of the story of Joseph in Genesis, he brings his entire family to Egypt. And then fast forward, and they do really, really well there. And then fast forward, and a new Pharaoh comes along. And this Pharaoh has not heard of Joseph or his family. And so he, after they've gone there for years and years and years, he takes all the Israel people and makes them slaves. And for 400 years, the Jewish people are slaves. Can you imagine if the only history you knew was slavery? Like, that would be like the equivalent of, in America, you're in history class, and you're like, remember Abraham Lincoln? He made bricks without straw. He was a slave. George Washington, he was a slave. Like, their entire history, their great-great-great-great-grandfathers were slaves. That's all they knew. And they were tired, and they were abused, and they called out to God. And so God sent this guy named Moses. And Moses came to set the people free. And Moses went to the Egyptian king, the Pharaoh, and he said, let my people go. And he said, no. And so God struck the Egyptians with plagues 10 different times. He turned their water into blood. He turned the night into darkness. He sent flies and locusts. He killed their livestock. He pelted them with hail. And finally, he killed all the firstborn sons in the entire country. And at that point, Pharaoh said, okay, Moses, get out of here. I get it. We don't want you anymore. And Moses takes these people who have been slaves their entire lives, and they leave Egypt. And that's where we're going to pick up, Exodus 14. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 of Exodus 14. There's some big words in here, so I'm going to make stuff up because I didn't do too good in school. Exodus 14, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of between Migdol and the sea, and in front of Baal Shephon, and they shall encamp facing the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And I will get the glory over Pharaoh and all of his host. And all the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed towards the people. And they said, what is this we've done? We've let Israel go from serving us. So they made ready his chariots and took his army with him. Excuse me. They took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt and officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And they pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army. They overtook them as they encamped by the sea at Phithahim in front of Bethathaim. All right, we'll stop there for a second. So they're leaving, and it says, in the NIV, it says they were marching boldly. They're like, we're out of here, yes, boo, look at us. They marched out boldly, like a million people, they think. They were marching out, and they're marching, and God told them, go here, no, go here. And God was leading them with a pillar of smoke in the day and a pillar of fire at night. And then God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And the place that it describes, and you can look this up on Google or if your Bible has maps, picture this. They come out of Egypt, and all along this side, and all along the back is mountains. Not like Colorado mountains, like desert mountains. Like there's no trees, it's barren and desert, but giant mountains. And all along this side is a giant sea. And behind them is Egypt. And they walk in here and they get stuck. And there's no place to go. And Pharaoh says, they're wandering, they're lost, they're trapped, we should go get them. The people of God are standing there, and they see the mountains before them and the water beside them, and they turn around, and here comes chariots. Yeah! Here comes Pharaoh after them, and they're terrified, and they don't know what to do, and finally the army overtakes them. We pick up in verse 10. Exodus 14, verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the people lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, is it because there are not enough graves in Egypt that you've taken us to die in here in the wilderness? What have we done? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is it not that you what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us, let us be here so we can serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better off for us to serve the Egyptians to die in the wilderness. They get mad. They're like, what have you done to us? We were fine. We were slaves and we liked it. Grandpa was a slave. Great-grandpa was a slave. Great-great-great-grandpa was a slave. What have you done to us? We're just going to die. That's no fun. Rather be a slave than dead. They were marching boldly. Now they're scared. They're like, help us. What have you done? Have you ever been like that? Have you ever been in a place where you're standing and you don't know how you got there, but all you see is mountains in front of you and a sea beside you and the enemy coming up behind you? You ever been in a place like that where you're terrified and you don't know what's going to happen? There's this psychological thing that happens. It's called fight or flight. There's this response that we do a lot of times. When we get in those situations, we either fight or we fly. We leave. My family is made up of both of those. I have a lot of boys. Boys' typical response is to fight, right? My middle son, Jaden, he's asleep in the couch in the middle of the day. And he's like, he's out, drool, he's out. And my other son just walks up and goes, Jaden, wake up! Jaden goes, what happened to the gun? Like, he goes from, like, REM dreaming to, ha, 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 ha! And he was, like, moving before he even realizes that. He's like, what am I doing? I was just dreaming about puppies and unicorns, and now I'm going to punch somebody. And then I have one girl. Right? She's my daughter. She's 22 years old now. She's amazing. But if someone goes, ow, she's like, ah! And she runs and hides. Like, she's afraid of blood. She can't handle anything. She runs away. Right? And that's some of us, we either, when we get backed into a corner, we're like, all right, let's go, it's on. And others, you just like run away. Ah, I don't know what to do, it's scary, and you leave. And there's actually a third one. Some of you just shut down. You know, you see these kids in Walmart all the time. They're just like dragging behind the cart. They're just like, I can't take anymore. They're just gone. Right? Sometimes we shut down emotionally. Right? Sometimes we shut down physically. But that's what happens. We get in this plot. We fight, or we flee, or we shut down. But God has another option. Look at the next verse, and this is from the NIV. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." There's one more option. When you get in those moments where you don't know what to do, and it looks like there's no way out, and you're overwhelmed, before you run, before you hide, before you shut down, take a breath. Be still. God wants to say, I got this. I'll fight for you. Let me help you. I'm here. I'm going to do a good thing. I'm going to work out good for you. Just take a minute. Just take a minute. Here's the bottom line of this whole weekend, is when you're stuck, when you're trapped, when you don't know which way to run, when every option in front of you looks hurtful, don't run, don't fight, be still. Take a moment and be still. Take a moment and remember. Here's what happens when you're still. Psalm 46:10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in this world." God says to be still and to know that he is God, to know that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he'll do. Right? Sometimes you just need to stop and remind yourself of what you know, what you've heard. Because the world wants to throw things and go, see, God's not here. He led you out of Egypt right into a trap. He's not there. But Moses is like, God's done so much for us. He's leading us right now. Just take a breath. He'll fight for us. He'll come before us. He will take care of us. It's not our battle. Just remember what he's done in the past. He's still on his throne. He has a plan, and he will work out everything for the good for those who love him. Be still. Psalm 37:7 says this, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently on him." Sometimes we have to wait. "Fret not yourself over the one who prospers on his way, over the man who carries out what the evil devices." Remember, be patient. Remember that sometimes God's plan isn't like ours. It takes time. Sometimes you have to be still for a while. Sometimes you just need to regroup and know God has a plan. But what we like to do, right, if you're like me, and I think you probably are, is we think we're following God. We're like, I'm going to go do what God says. I'm going right. He said leave. I'm leaving. Woohoo! And then it gets bad. We're like, why did we leave? We should have been back there. It was better. What's God doing? And we whine and complain instead of taking a minute and remember what God did for us. When I was in college, I actually started dating. I dated a girl in high school. I'm from Georgia. And went to college, and her dad was a taxidermist. She's from Georgia. Her dad, that means he stuffs dead animals. That's what he does for a living. And so in my first year of college, I took this class on dealing with people who are grieving, going through hard things. And it was an amazing class. It was a really short class, but it was amazing. And the professor taught me this thing. This is 1988. He said this. He said, I have this plaque on my desk. And the plaque says, "This too shall pass." And he's like, here's what that's for. He said, when things are going bad and I feel like I'm surrounded and God's not there, I look up and I read that, and it says, "This too shall pass." And it reminds me that the bad times won't last forever, and God is on his throne, and he will take care of me. And then he says, but when things are going good, I look down at it, and I see, "This too shall pass." It reminds me not to get too comfortable, not to lean on myself, but keep leaning on God, because this good time is going to pass as well, and bad times are coming. And I was like, that is profound. I must have a plaque like that on my desk. And so I told my girlfriend, and her job for her dad, the taxidermist, was she engraved the little plates that they put under the deer. Billy Bob, just burp. You know, like the stuff that it says there, she did that. So she found this really cool piece of wood, and she took a plaque, and she engraved on it, "This too shall pass," and she gave it to me for Christmas. And it was the most meaningful, amazing gift. And I set it on my desk, and when bad things would happen, I looked at it, and I said, "This too shall pass. This won't last forever." And then when good things were happening, I looked at it, and I said, "This too shall pass. Don't get too comfortable." And then a couple years later, she dumped me, and she married another guy named Terry on my birthday. And I'm not bitter. But I looked up at the plaque that said, "This too shall pass," and I threw it in the trash can. I missed the point. Right? It should remind us. So being still, what that should do for us is help us to take a breath and remember that God is who he says he is. And he'll do what he says he'll do. And we don't have to fight. We don't have to run. We can let God do his job. There's probably some of you that, not very many, but there's probably some of you this weekend that are like going, "Dude, your talk, that's me. I feel like I am in the middle of something. And in front of me is mountains, and beside of me is water, and behind me is an army that wants to kill me, and I don't know what to do." Hold on. Be still. Make sure you talk to somebody. Talk to one of the adults that brought you here this weekend, because that's what this weekend's all about. Some of you were like I was in college. Some of you are going, "This is good, but everything's fine. Maybe I should have a plaque like that on my desk that I might use one day, but right now everything's good." But let me tell you, it may be 5 minutes, or it might be 5 decades, but you will find yourself at one point in that place. And the more prepared you are for that, the better you'll do when that situation comes. So take this weekend to be still and to put some things in place so that when you are faced in a situation, that you remember what God has done for you. But I guarantee everybody in this room, there's somebody in your life, somebody that you know, that you're close to, that you care about, that right now is in the middle of the desert. And they need somebody to come alongside them and remind them of what God has done for them. So this is going to be a fun weekend. We're going to ski and snowboard and dodge and do stuff at the pool. Like this is the most exhausting week of my year. It never stops. And I thought as Charles got older, there'd be more nap time, but there's not. And this weekend, you're not going to be still very much. But make the most of the times where you can be still and remember what God's done for you and lean on the Father so that whether you're in that moment right now or you're in it later, you can know that he is who he says he is and he will do what he says he'll do. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the hope that we have because of his life and his death and his resurrection. And Father, this week, as we have fun and hang out with our friends, may we also take some time to just be still before you, to let you talk to us, remember who you are, and remember what you've done for us, so that either if we're in something scary right now or we're preparing for in the future, that we remember who you are.